The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Mike Huckabee offers encouragement for the spiritual battle ahead.
We don't have to wonder, how is it going to turn out, folks? It has already turned out. I cheated just a little bit. I did read over at the end. And guess what? This thing's been played. It happened on Calvary. It happened at the empty tomb. This thing has been played out. And folks, we have won the game.
Well, I want to welcome you to Life Today. Betty and I are so glad you're here. If you heard Governor Huckabee yesterday on Life Today, if you've seen him on any of our websites, like the stream that we established, to stream wisdom from God through diverse people who are brilliant and deep, strong convictions that matter. If you heard Governor Huckabee, I don't know how you slept last night wanting to hurry up and get to today. I hope you, if you didn't already call him, listen to Governor Huckabee. He is going to tell us how we can get our life back in America, our lives, our freedom, our future. We can give our children, grandchildren, great-children, grandchildren a future. Governor Huckabee continues what he came and shared to say, thanks to us for giving his first job, giving him encouragement. But I'm telling you, this message, God, please, help everyone hear it and hear you in the fire, the passion, and the truth that's flowing through Mike Huckabee, Governor Huckabee. And as he says now, Sarah Huckabee's dad, here's Sarah's dad, Mike Huckabee. Well, here part two.
I've got friends that I knew in college, and some of them have kind of drifted away from that deep hell belief of the authority of Scripture. I want you to know that there are many things in my life that are far from perfect, but the one thing that I have never deviated from, and that is the absolute confidence that I can tune my life to the Word of God, and I'll never have to apologize for it, because His Word is truth. It will never return unto Him marked and stamped void. It will always have its authority. And one of the reasons God has so blessed James Robison and his ministry is because, well, we used to say in the staff when I worked for James, he's often wrong, but he's never in doubt. We would say that. Not to him, of course, but the one thing that has been a constant through 60 years of serving the Lord Jesus is his absolute confidence and adherence to the Word of God. When people assist in his ministry, they're not giving just to what James thinks, feels, or believes. They are helping in his partnership to making sure that the Word of the living God goes out, whether it's halfway around the world or a block away. And folks, I don't know of any greater sense of your personal fulfillment than to be able to know that you are not giving to a man who is constantly changing, rearranging his theology, reconstituting what he believes and why, and trying to make sure that he can be cool and be relevant to the world. He is a person who has significantly and consistently always said, I'm not here to get God to tune into the world. I'm here to get the world to tune itself to God. And that, my friend, is something for which God has kept him going for 60 years plus. And it's the reason I'm so delighted to be here tonight and urge you and ask you, continue to pray for the success and ongoing of this ministry, because it's far from over. Far from over. And I see the water wells that are being dug in some of the most remote places of earth, where people used to carry big, heavy jugs from distances of miles just to get some nasty water to their family. And now, a few dozen yards, and they can push the handle on a pump and get clean and fresh water. But it's not just the physical water, but it's the living water that goes with it. And James understood several years ago that in order to win the right to tell them about the living water, some of them would like to see some genuine thirst-quenching water. And God has used many of you in this room to help make that happen. You won't meet them on this earth. They live in obscurity. They'll never make the papers. They probably won't be the lead story of the 6 o'clock news. And I would say to them, don't worry about that. It ain't all it's cracked up to be. I can tell you that. But when you get to heaven, there's some folks going to come and say, thank you, because I found out that you were the ones who paid for a water well in my little village. I would have died when I was 7, but I lived to have grandkids because I actually had a life. And all the things that God has used James to do, the common thread through it all is the deepest conviction that God did not place him on this earth simply to look around, take a poll, and figure out what he needs to preach that would make him popular. He could have done that, and there's never been a greater communicator that I've ever heard in person, and I've heard some great ones. No one like him. And he could have done that, he would have been successful, and he would have been popular. But I've watched him say things to crowds of people and to individuals that was not even close to what they wanted to hear. But he said what they needed to hear, because he did not come as someone who comforted people in their sin, but like the prophet of God, confronted people in their sin and pointed them to the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that why we're supposed to be here? I think it is. And James, I want to just tell you how much your consistency through all these years has been an inspiration to me. And it genuinely has. We live in a world where there's so much evil. I don't want to focus on the evil. You know, there's a reason when they train Secret Service agents who are part of the Treasury Department, and you probably know this, but to spot counterfeit money, Secret Service agents are not taught all the different counterfeiting techniques. They're not taught to look at 100 different counterfeit bills. You know what they're taught? They're trained in the real thing. And the only thing they study is the real currency. So that any time they see counterfeit, it stands out because they are so used to seeing the real thing. See, I'm convinced that what God wants us to do is to quit worrying about all the different evils that are here. We can certainly know they are here, but it's not our job to become so well acquainted with them that we're captivated by them. What we need to do is focus on the real thing, which is the Word of God, and every time we see something that doesn't line itself to the Word of God, it'll jump out as the counterfeit that it is. It breaks my heart to see many young Christians living in a life and a lifestyle that is so against God's Word. And I wonder, how does that happen? I tell you how it happens. Spending more time connecting to the world than connecting to the Word. But folks, it's not that we're losing. It may look like it, but we're not. Our battle these days is not political. I know a lot of people think, well, you got into politics so you could win elections. Truth is, more than ever than it's been, the battle we face is no longer horizontal. It is not the left versus the right, the Democrats versus the Republicans, the conservatives versus the liberal. We are no longer living in a world where the conflict is horizontal. Today, the conflict is vertical. It is heaven versus hell. It is good versus evil. It is right versus wrong. This is a spiritual battle. And that is our fight. And that's why we need people who have unapologetically kept the faith and kept the focus on the spiritual battle. I know of no one who's done that more effectively than James has. And after all these many years, not quite 50, but getting close to 50, of working for this man and knowing him personally, 50 years certainly of knowing his ministry, because before I ever went to work with him, when I was still a teenager, I would watch him on television and think, wow, that guy really says some stuff, doesn't he? Never imagined that I would one day work with him. are that he would take an interest in me, invest in me, mentor me, care deeply, and be supportive of everything God ever led me to do. Never in any way angry that I left him. He was glad of it, I think, quite frankly. No, he was always saying, let God direct you, and I'll be for you whatever it is God leads you to do. That is remarkable in itself. But folks, I'm not here tonight to tell you that our best days are completely behind us, because that would be defeatism. And I read through the scripture, and I don't see that the book tells me that I ought to just give up and be a quitter. I don't read that we ought to curl up in a fetal position, get up under our beds, and just wait till Jesus comes because it's just getting bad. And it may be getting bad. I know that part of the reason it's getting bad is because we've turned off the lights and we've sacked up the salt rather than put it out there where things are spoiling. And that's our fault. It's not the world's fault. I don't expect much out of a sinful world. Why should I? God expects something out of me to be salt and light. So if I see these things falling apart, I don't want to blame them. I got to look in the mirror and blame me. But I ultimately know that God has not turned his back. And the day comes when those faithful to him will hear his voice saying six words at the end of our lives. These are the six words I believe we should live for. Not the praise of men, not an editorial in the New York Times, which, frankly, if they ever wrote something nice about me, I would really worry that I'd fallen apart. No, we live to hear six words from the Master's mouth, and here they are. Well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the six words that we ought to live to hear. And if we hear those at the end of this life, when we're just making the trip to the other side of the dirt, I want to tell you something. No matter whether we've been famous or wealthy, we've been successful, because that's what God wanted us to do. Now, I'm probably going to hurt some feelings, but I am a hardcore Razorback fan. You know, the Razorbacks won one national football championship in 1964. 64. That's soon to be 60 years, people. And everybody in Arkansas still thinks next year is going to be the year we're going to do it again. We're still living in that day. 64. We won the national basketball championship in 1994. Hadn't won it since. But when the Razorbacks had the hottest basketball team in the country, this was the days before ESPN. You didn't have 75 channels all running college basketball. You had basically one channel. One of the networks would pick a game, and everybody else had to listen to whatever they were interested in on the radio. Now, they would let states and stations record the game and play it back afterwards. They just couldn't play it live. The ABC affiliate in Little Rock used to record the Razorback basketball games, and then during the 10 o'clock news, they would say, well, the Razorbacks played up in the arena tonight. And if you want to watch the game, we will start it at 10:30, and you can watch it in its entirety. If you don't want to know the final score, turn your sound down for the next 10 seconds, because we will verbally tell you the score, but we won't put it on the screen so you can watch it as if it's just now happening. And I'm sure somewhere in the state, there was some goober who hit his remote and hit mute.
I don't know what happened.
Brother, I did. I turned the volume up, because I wanted to know, did we win? Because if we did, I'd pop some popcorn, I'd put my feet up, and I'd watch the whole game till 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, if I found out we lost, I'm not staying up to 1 in the morning to go to bed and be angry and not be able to sleep all night because I'm still ticked off that we blew it in the last 6 seconds. So I'd say, now I'm not watching that, and I'd go to bed. If we won, you bet I stayed up. You know what was fun? Late in the second half, we'd be down by 12 points, 2 minutes left. Looks like no way. We haven't been ahead all night. And it didn't matter what the score was in the first half or the early part of the second half or even late in the second half, because, see, the game has already been played. We know the outcome. We don't have to wonder, how is it going to turn out? Folks, it has already turned out. You know what I know about the Bible? I cheated just a little bit. I did read over at the end. And guess what? This thing's been played. It happened on Calvary. It happened at the empty tomb. This thing has been played out. And folks, we have won the game. Let us quit whining about how bad things are, and thank God we're living in a world where it's been played and we're moving toward victory, not toward defeat. And that, my dear friend, is why God has used James Robison as he has, because he has never failed to believe that the day comes when those who are in Christ shall indeed never have to apologize for our being faithful to the Savior.
Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, Governor. And guess what? We already have eternal life. We already have that resurrection life. We have already started living there, and we don't seem to get it. That when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He's come. He's here. And he says he put his kingdom in us, and then later his resurrection power, his kingdom's in us. And when they prayed, they walked out in kingdom power and impacted everything on planet Earth. What Governor is experiencing, his daughter's experience, his family, what we've experienced together, what we have with our family, is we're living with a kingdom impact that is now in the next kingdom. We got nobody to defeat, not anyone to overcome. We don't win a victory because it's been won. That's settled. That's the final, when the enemy is totally destroyed, not just defeated, but cast into eternal hell with all those who reject the wonderful life that starts now in Christ. It doesn't start when we die. It doesn't start when he comes back. The King has come. His will can be done on earth through his family, the body of Christ, the church. And Betty, we're experiencing it.
Yes.
And we're expressing it like the New Testament disciples in Acts. Look at those disciples. They impacted everything on planet Earth, which is God's. You don't have to give any part of planet Earth or your life or your community or your state, your city. You don't have to give it to them. You don't have to give them your country. In other words, we can live as overcomers in the presence of the accuser, in the presence of the enemy. We can live. I'm 80. You know, Betty didn't want me to tell you how old she is. Okay, I won't. But here's the deal. I'm full of more joy, more peace, more zeal, more fire than I have ever had in over 60 years of public ministry and 60 years of marriage. You want to know why? I've become more and more aware of his presence and his power prevailing in me. And I'm watching it spread like a glorious spiritual awakening. That's what I'm watching right now. And I want to ask you to help us fulfill his will.
Amen.
Because he says, my children, my sheep who know me, notice the least of these, and they help them. That's what they do. And I want to ask you, please, please help us reach out and put God's arms of love around those that have been trafficked and let them start the new life too, overcoming and free. In Jesus' name.
I have this subject on the phone. Would you be advised?
John, how old is your wife?
John.
How old?
What's the youngest?
Huh?
The youngest.
We couldn't imagine the extent of the evil
that allowed four-year-olds to be trafficked and sexually abused by men coming from all over the world. We knew we needed to do more. One day our phone rang and it was a young girl trapped in a brothel calling for us to help. So we gave the information to this other organization, but we had to wait 3 days for them to get into position to do a raid. But it was tipped off and none of the girls were rescued, and now they were moved to a new brothel and we didn't know where they were or how to get them out. We would never let this happen again. So we partnered with the government and started our own SWAT team. Everything turned around. Instead of raids being tipped off, there was hardly ever a raid that wasn't successful. And now that girl that made the phone call, she's not only rescued, she's not only healed, but today she's a social worker of our SWAT team. And when a rescue happens, the first person those girls see is her. She's also testified against the brothel owner. All the girls were rescued, the brothel was shut down, and no girls are being hurt there again. So much incredible work has been done through the power of Christ, but there's still so much more to do. There are girls trapped in brothels. We know where they are, and we know how to get them out, but we can't do it alone. We need your help. Together, we can defeat the greatest evil of our lifetime.
All right, we've been there. We've been in the sex capital. We're told we perhaps built the biggest rescue center in the world, which is, we refer to as Destiny House. But that's just one place. That was another place. What do you want our viewers to hear? Because Betty, you and I have seen these precious girls.
Yeah, we have.
And our heart breaks for the men and the people that would use those girls. Mm-hmm. Not only sell them, but go and buy them. It breaks my heart. God set us free.
You know, what, James, you sometimes it might just be one girl at a time. That one child is worth all that we can give to help rescue them. They got a phone call from one little girl, and they could not locate her. They kept moving her around. Finally, she was set free. Can you imagine what that day would be like for these children to know that they've been captive for so long, and then they're set free? How wonderful. We know in our own hearts when we've been captive in our own spirits and God sets us free. What a joyful day that is. Join with us. Let's set these children free.
That's every missionary in the world, because that's important to secure future for children all over the world. They know that. But we teach them to sing praises. And we used to could show you hundreds of them, even thousands of them singing. And the mission workers told us, you can't show that because they're finding them by capturing their pictures, and they're capturing them on the street or when they're shopping with somebody. They recognize them and took them back. So you can't show their faces anymore. But if you could see their faces, the glory of God's all over them. And then we taught them how to make a living and how to share life. I mean, this outreach is as pure a work of Jesus and the church as anything on planet Earth. Would you right now? We have a $320,000 matching gift by people who say we care so much about it. Would you go right now to the phone? Would you take your bank card? Would you make a $128 gift? That's what it takes to rescue and to begin the restoration process. If you give, $128 now rescues too. 1,280 gets 10, now it's 20. 20! Would you do that? There's a level at which you can help. Father, help everyone watching to say, God, how many can I help rescue? I know whatever I give will be doubled. Help them to do it, please. In Jesus' name, would you? Would you go get your bank card, use it like a check, go online or dial that number, and you make the gift of life and freedom that God puts on your heart. We have some beautiful gifts for you. Please, make that call. Touch someone with God's love. Change their life. Thank you.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be double to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Declare. This beautifully designed 31-day devotional reveals 31 names of God from Scripture and gives insight to the character, grace, and depth of God's love for you. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Gospels book set. This special edition collection of the four Gospels in the classic King James Version includes journaling space opposite each page of Scripture so you can reflect as you read, the perfect companion for your daily time with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, I want to thank God for the message Governor Huckabee, Sarah's dad, delivered. And Lord, I want to thank you for every person that rescued somebody precious to you. And now precious to all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Betty and I love you. Okay. We could not present, we could have never helped Governor Huckabee become the great leader he is if he didn't support us. Everything we've ever done in our entire ministry and all over the world has been because of the sender. How shall they preach the gospel, but must be preached if they're not sent? Bottom line, thank you for sending life and love and rescuing these who are trafficked. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. You pray for God to raise up more preachers like Governor Huckabee. And let's be what Jesus told us to pray to be. Let's live with kingdom impact. Don't we have great friends?
Awesome.
And those who support the outreaches of life. Thank you so much.
Inside of our gated, locked pool, there he was, face down.
Country music's Granger Smith, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.